Oh God, our Father, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the word implanted in us. For your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the very bone and marrow, changing our lives that we may live lives pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. My meditation this morning is on the gospel lesson. An interesting story. I often wonder why Luke writes this story. Because here we have Jesus. He's sailing from the one side of Galilee where all the Jews were, because he was preaching, and basically to the lost, the house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he sails across the Lake of Galilee into an area called the Gerasenes, which is Gentile. They're pagans. And we're not exactly sure why he did this. But no sooner had Jesus stepped off the boat and he's met with a man who was demon-possessed. And then the drama gets thicker because Jesus had commanded the spirits to come out of the man. But, well, they were kind of hesitant. And notice they said, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Don't torture us." They knew who he was. And they knew they were doomed to eternal destruction. And this was a man who had lived in the tombs and lived in the desert, and he was bound by chains. People couldn't contain, he would break the chains because of the spirits that were in him. This man was not prepared, and these demons were not prepared for a visit from Jesus. So Jesus finally says, "Well, what's your name?" And they said, "Legion." Now, the New Testament scholar William Barclay says that the legion in the ancient times, and I want you to get this, meant 6,000 troops, Roman troops from the Caesar Augustus. So 6,000 evil spirits. How could they fit in this body? I don't know. They were terrified, and the demons were begging Jesus, "Oh, don't send us into the abyss." What's the abyss? The abyss is a place of eternal torture. Because these spirits knew that their doom was sealed, that they were cast out of heaven. It says in the book of Revelation, there was war in heaven, and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. So it just so happens that nearby there's this herd of pigs. Now the Gospel of Mark says that there were like 2,000 pigs. It's a lot of pigs. So they're begging Jesus, "Don't send us into the abyss. Send us, please, into the herd of swine." I think it's interesting. Jesus gives him permission. "All right, go ahead. Knock yourself out." So all the spirits flee the man at Jesus' command, enter the pigs, and all of a sudden all the pigs then squeal and scream and rush down a hill and into the lake and drown. Now, I've been told that this is the first case of deviled ham. If you like deviled ham. That was bad, I know. But you know what? As we look at this narrative, what is Luke trying to tell us with this event? Why is he writing this? Well, I think we need to go back in the first chapter of Luke, and I think it's a cool thing to do, so you start reading on the book of Luke. He says, he's writing to his friend Theophilus, and he says that in order, I'm writing and investigating these things in order that you may have certainty of the things you have been taught. In other words, Luke's gospel presents the work and teaching of Jesus from eyewitnesses, especially that they may know that Jesus is the Savior of the world and that people would believe in him. So the first thing Luke wants us to realize in this story this morning is that Jesus is the Son of God, Lord over all creation. He's not just a man. He's just not some kind of magician, but he's God himself come in the flesh. In the previous chapter, he wrote that Jesus walked on the water. And in the following section in chapter 8, Jesus will raise the dead girl and he heals the woman with bleeding. He wants us to understand that Jesus is no ordinary man, but he's the Son of God. And he's come into the world on a special mission. The second thing that Luke wants us to know is that evil exists. We have in our culture today that there's no such thing as evil. It's a social construct. We all are equivalent on the same moral plane. No, evil exists. And evil spirits exist who roam the earth as Satan's minions to create havoc and destruction. And even in your life and my life. St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the forces in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual reality just as much as there's a physical reality, and we are sitting here this morning. Don't we confess in the Nicene Creed, I believe in all things visible and invisible. Yes. And in the book of Jude, he writes, and the angels who do not keep their positions of authority, but they abandon their own abode, these God has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day of the Lord. Every Christian must be prepared for spiritual warfare. Our battle is spiritual. In other words, it's recognizing the devil's temptations and harassments in our lives. As St. Peter says in his epistle, be self-controlled and alert, spiritually alert. Don't be spiritually lazy. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But resist him, standing firm in your faith. And the third thing that Luke stresses is that the devil and the evil spirits must submit to Jesus' authority. Notice again that the spirits knew who Jesus was. What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Don't torture us. But they didn't trust in him as a savior. They were his enemy. But they knew that greater is Jesus than any power that they had. So they were begging Jesus not to send them into the abyss. And he says, Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. It's like when you come to an intersection, you know, and there's either an accident or construction, and there's a policeman there. And you're in your big SUV. And the policeman goes like this for you to stop. Now you could literally run him over, right? I mean, you've got a bigger vehicle. But because the policeman has authority, you stop. Because if you don't stop, well, there's going to be some consequences, right? So we recognize that this person has authority. So the demons recognizes that Jesus has authority over everything, and that he came, he's the savior of the world, to crush Satan's head, save us from our sins, and reconcile us back to God. And here this man all of a sudden is sitting at Jesus' feet in a right mind, clothed. He was healed. And you know what? Jesus comes to us today the same way to heal us of the sin that plagues us. And Jesus comes and he confronts us today in our sin, our sinful nature. He says to, each one of us. What is your name? Greed. What is your name? Lust. What is your name? Pornography. What is your name? Gossip. Liar. Pride. Hatred. What is your name? Envy. All these things are things that come out of our hearts, every one of us. And Jesus comes to us to set us free from those. Sin attempts to enslave us, to destroy us, to release the worst in us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The only way of salvation is to come face to face with the one who can drive out demons, cleanse us from our sin, and make us willing to sit at his feet, clothed and in our right minds. That is Jesus. Jesus comes to free us from the bondage of sin and its eternal consequences. So by faith in believing in Jesus, we can have the certainty that Luke talks about. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life. No matter what happens in my life, good or bad, God's got this. Because I belong to Jesus. By Jesus' death on the cross and the empty tomb, he has cast out our sin. He has taken our sin upon himself so that we no longer have to bear the punishment, God's wrath. Just as the demon-possessed man was dressed and sitting in his right mind, Jesus cleanses us from sin and gives us the Holy Spirit to be a new person. The Bible says that anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And just as Jesus comes to us every day and says, "What is your name?" Notice how the townspeople, when something good happened, the man was healed in his right mind. What was their reaction? "Go away!" They were filled with fear. They rejected him. And what Jesus is saying today is that don't reject the grace of God, because he continues to pour out his grace and mercy abundantly on all. I certainly wouldn't want to be those townspeople when I saw, if I were to see something so miraculous as that. And here's this man. He's saying, "Now that he's free, Jesus, I want to come with you. Let me know. Go back home. Tell people what good things the Lord has done for you." And he calls you and me to tell people what the good things the Lord has done for us. The good news is Jesus wants to bring healing and wholeness to our broken lives. God wants us to set us free from the captivity we feel to our past. He wants to loosen the bonds we carry of guilt, shame, anxiety, fear, and hopelessness. Jesus broke the stranglehold that sin and death have over us. Through the cross and the empty tomb, he won the victory for us over sin, over the devil, over demons in the world. And he makes us new every day, gives us a fresh start no matter how bad things went. And boy, we all have bad days. We know for sure that when we go to bed at night, we can say, "God, I screwed up today, but I ask your forgiveness. All is forgiven. All is made new. I can rest comfortably." As King David said, "I shall lie down and my sleep shall be sweet." You know, Martin Luther was always fighting with the devil, who was trying to drive him just hopeless and despair. And he wrote this famous stanza in "Almighty Fortresses Are God." All of us as Lutherans, we should know this. And listen to this. "This world's prince," he says, "may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can expel him. In other words, chase him away. And that word is Jesus. And I want to encourage you, whenever you're harassed by the devil and he throws doubt, fear, and anxiety in your face, tell him to take a hike, because you belong to Jesus. And sometimes you need to pray it out loud. I speak it out loud. Sometimes when I'm so harassed and I'm at the point of like, oh, I want to cross that line in depression, I said, I command you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, leave me. And he does. Nobody will come back and want to play his tricks. But I know that he who is greater in me is greater than he who's in the world. I don't know what chain is holding you today. I don't know what bondage you feel in your life or what you're struggling with. I don't know the brokenness in your life, but I know the one who does. In your baptism, God has claimed you for his very own. You have put on Christ. He has redeemed you, and you are his child. You need not fear, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And anything the devil can throw at you. The Apostle Paul says in Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and self-discipline. And because you are sons of God, God has sent his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, meaning Daddy. So you're no longer a slave in bondage, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That's wonderful. That's joyous news. So what is your name? I am a baptized child of God who has put on Christ. I am forgiven and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.